You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. We've reached near the end of Week 16 here. We got Monday Night Football between the Broncos and Raiders. We won't be doing a show here on Tuesday for the waiver wire with most of the seasons wrapped up. We'll still look at all the matchups here on Wednesday and give you some DFS advice on Thursday to get you through the week here. Just abbreviated schedule and guest list this week with Christmas and the holidays, and we want everyone to enjoy that. But we wanted to get you a Christmas Eve special edition here because we know there's a lot of takeaways from these games that we want to look at here coming out of Week 16. Hopefully you did well in your fantasy football championship round or your penultimate round here, and you were happy with the results, but there's also a chance you were disappointed. And in general, I'll change maybe the takeaways I look at today to be more a little bit of short-term, a little bit of long-term as well in these situations that are developing, and things you need to know, what teams can be resting here in Week 17, and situations you want to avoid if you're still playing. Well, you're still going to be playing in DFS, but if you're still playing in year-long, you have to keep note of those things as well. So let's get started here. The Tom Kesnick usually joins us, but again, it's a holiday, so he won't be on the show. We won't have Eric at home tomorrow either. We'll come back Wednesday with our matchup-focused show to look at all the games of Week 17 from a year-long and DFS perspective. So that's kind of how it breaks down this week. So let's dive right in and give you all the information you need to know. You can have a couple days to catch up on this show, hopefully. So there's that. Let's go back to Saturday there. The Titans rallied to beat the Redskins 25-16. The takeaway here is that Derrick Henry still locked in as the workhorse, 21 carries, 84 yards, and a TD. That also means the Titans didn't throw much. They did have to throw later when they were trailing, and Blaine Gabbert had to come in, the stinger for Marcus Mariota. The thing is, Blaine Gabbert didn't look much different operating against the Redskins defense than Mariota did. He had a touchdown here. It went late there to Michael Pruitt, the third tight end there, basically. There's been no Delanie Walker, no Jonnu Smith. You have Anthony Firkser. Michael Pruitt is, I think, about the third guy, even with their healthy guys now. So there's not much to see in the pass game, which has really hurt Corey Davis. And they're having a lot of success defensively. They scored a pick six here with Malcolm Butler, so that Tennessee defense came through here. If you played them as a good streamer at home against the Redskins, it was good, but it's pretty much been the Derrick Henry show, and he's carried a lot of teams here late to a championship. Well, Deion Lewis will have to see his future. He only had six touches in this game, even in trail mode, six for... So basically, they went out and got him in free agency, but realized maybe he's not the right fit for this offense, which can happen. And we've seen that a lot with backs. You look at Seattle's situation, drafting Rashad Penny and then realizing, oh, wait, we're fine with Chris Carson here. So it's just a running game, defense-oriented team. They've gotten actually grittier than they were last year with Mike Mularkey. So that's disappointing. We'll see if Mariota can return here in Week 17, Sunday Night Football now, against the Colts with a stinger. But overall, it's still going to be the Derrick Henry show, and that's all we really trust here on the Titans for the next week in fantasy, and we'll see if they continue the playoffs if they win that game. Now, on the Redskins side of things, Adrian Peterson, 26 carries, 119 yards. Every time you count him out, he comes through here. Jamison Crowder has been pretty solid here several weeks in PPR, five catches for 78 on seven targets. Jeremy Sprinkle had to play tight end with both Vernon Davis and Jordan Reed out of this game. But overall, Redskins going forward, next year I think Darius Geis, we'll have to see how his rehab progress goes from that torn ACL he suffered in the first preseason game. But I figure he's going to be the man and carry the load here. He's a very special back. So we'll see if Adrian Peterson is in the plans here. He did have 4.6 yards per carry in this game. But that's what we're interested to see. Peterson has really saved a lot of seasons, been pretty solid as an RB2 in a lot of cases. Had some big games, had some disappointing games. But overall, he's kind of saved this backfield, and that just bodes well. Given this offensive line was very hurt, once they get all healthy and they get the services of Geis back, there could be a really special season for him. So Geis is on my radar already as a RB2 with a very RB1-like upside. And Crowder, such a key part of this offense. We saw that he's done a lot. We'll see who the quarterback is going forward. But I think Crowder is going to be essential for that quarterback, whether he's a young guy or another stopgap with Alex Smith in there. The next game we'll go to here is the Chargers and Ravens, the other Saturday night game. As we thought, it could be a struggle for Phillip Rivers. It was 2 picks. His TD streak ends as well, 181 yards only. Melvin Gordon came back. We thought it could be tough sledding. We thought he'd be touchdown dependent. That was the case. 15 touches, 54 yards, and a TD on his return. They used a little bit more Justin Jackson in the passing game with Austin Eckler out, 7 catches, 47 yards on 10 targets. So Gordon didn't get as much work there as usual, but he was still viable because of the touchdown. Now, Keenan Allen led the way, 5 for 58 on 8 targets, but as expected, this Ravens defense came through, really contained all which we saw in the Chargers, and the Chargers do have the Broncos next week and may not be as easy next week either, so keep that in mind. Lamar Jackson, I didn't really like him in this game, and really when you overlook all the numbers, he had 39 yards rushing, so he had 3 points there, had a TD as well, so you look at 9.9 plus 8, so still under 20 points in a 6-point per passing TD league here from Lamar Jackson. So the disappointment was there all around. Gus Edwards, I mean, he's come through every single week here. 15 touches for 105 yards. He led the way again. Mark Andrews, we've been focused on Hayden Hurst so much this season, but that foot injury early really derailed the rookie. Andrews, very intrigued by, especially Jackson as the quarterback going forward. They have a good chemistry. I think Hurst could be a factor as well, as we saw that chemistry early in the Hall of Fame game. But Andrews is a guy that I'm really interested in. We'll have to see. These receivers, I don't know if they're going to get John Brown, Michael Crabtree, and Willie Snead involved. Snead didn't even have a catch in this one. So I think they're going to have to go out and get a younger stud, more one like number one receiver that can fit with Jackson, because I'm not trusting these guys going forward, even if there's an evolution of Jackson in the passing game. The next game we'll look at here as we flip to Sunday is the Bengals losing the Browns 26-18. Almost a carbon copy of what we saw with Baker Mayfield in the first matchup, but 284 yards, 3 TDs there, 16 yards rushing. Nick Chubb didn't get a touchdown, but 112 yards rushing there. And Baker Mayfield, typical stuff, spreading the ball around. You never know who's going to be the benefit of the scoring. This time it was David Njoku. Had a touchdown and a 66-yard play, essentially kind of the same kind of production in different ways there. So his best game in several weeks here. Hard to have trust in him. Rashard Higgins, impossible to trust him. 6 for 60 in a TD. Jarvis Landry, again, 4 for 47. So he had that one big game against the Panthers, but Landry has been quiet overall. And that's just a testament to Mayfield that he's going to spread the ball around like a veteran QB. So Mayfield has definitely got QB1 upside in 2019. Nick Chubb is definitely a borderline RB1 with his production here in the backfield. This offense is going to have a lot of moving pieces. I think we'll see if they go out and get a bona fide number one receiver on the outside. They've been missing in Higgins and Callaway and Rashad Perryman, and Landry has been kind of not used as much in the slot. It's very similar to what we see in the Arizona offense. It's very deep ball and run heavy oriented offense. So we'll see if they keep Freddie Kitchens. We'll see where they go in the direction with the wide receiver. But all I know is Mayfield and Chubb are locked in as fantasy viable starters there in 2019. Now, the Bengals, you really can't tell much here because everyone's out. Tyler Boyd joined. A.J. Green and Andy Dalton on the shelf. Joe Mixon, solid game. 17 carries, 68 yards. 2 catches for 10 yards. So just not enough here where the Browns were in control running and passing. The Bengals can stay on the field to get Mixon more yardage. So, ugly year, but the takeaway is that Mixon, again, borderline RB1 next year as well with his usage. And but whatever they do with the coaching staff, he'll still be a focal point. CJ Uzuma, 4 for 49 and a TD. I think they'll have to get him more involved as well in this offense going forward in 2018 with Tyler Eifert's history and Tyler Kroft's history, and their future really much in doubt. Our next game that we'll go to here is the matchup between the Bills and the Patriots. The Patriots win this game. They kind of slowed it down here, 24-12. Tom Brady, we thought, could struggle a little bit. Well, he struggled mainly because they said, we're going to run the ball nuts in this game. They did. 18 for 116 yards for Sonny Michel. He gets on track with a TD. James White, 8 for 41 and a TD, but they had Cordell Patterson before he got hurt with a knee injury. 4 carries for 66. Rex Burkhead, 13 for 39. They grinded this game, 273 yards and a couple scores total. And 24-12, you know, that was not good for Brady. 13 for 24, TD, 2 interceptions. So, but this made the running game more effective because they committed to it, didn't really force it with Rob Gronkowski banged up and no Josh Gordon. This is the way the Patriots are right now. They have to win games in this way. Grind out games in the running game, protect their defense, and unfortunately, Tom Brady, we have to look in going into week 17 and then 2019, is not a QB1 anymore. There's just too many QB values here. You just can't say Tom Brady's going to lock in and be solid week after week. We have to see what the weapons are. Gronk, who knows if he retires. We know Gordon's not in the mix. Edelman's getting a little older. So the guy I'm excited about for the Patriots going forward is Sonny Michel. And he is definitely a feature back worthy of that first round pick, and that's what we're seeing here late, kind of like the Deion Lewis effect last season. Now Josh Allen, we'll have to see how this goes next week with him. It's 217 a TD and 2 interceptions, a limited receiving core. They contained Zay Jones for the most part. He did get a TD, but Robert Foster, no big play. So I think they're going to also upgrade at wide receiver here. Even though Foster's had his moments, Jones has had his moments, they need another target there. And I think offensive line will also help Allen going forward. And LeSean McCoy, very disappointing there because he had a little tiff with the coaching staff. It still ended up being Keith Ford touching the ball, even though McCoy and Chris Ivory could have been available. Ivory was not played in this game with a shoulder injury, so disappointing there if you had LeSean McCoy, and I think it's time to pack that in with him. He's not going to be a factor here going forward in fantasy in 2019. I expect them to move on with this. Not a good note between player and coaching staff here in week 16. Our next game is the Cowboys and Buccaneers, 27-20. The Cowboys hold on here. They actually seemed to be well in control in the third quarter. The Bucs had a late rally, but Dak Prescott had a rebound game. Still not spectacular, only 161 yards and a TD there. And he also added a rushing TD, but really disappointing game for Ezekiel Elliott. When he looked to be in a great spot here, 23 touches, but only turned them into 109 yards, no scores. So for Ezekiel Elliott in this type of matchup, it is disappointing. It didn't help here that the Cowboys were able to score defensively as well, so had to do less scoring offensively there. So now Ezekiel Elliott will be sitting for sure in week 17 as the Cowboys are locked into the 4 seed. So disappointing end for Elliott. I think he was still a fine RB1. You just wish you could get a little bit more consistency from this offense. A lot of that was up and down with Prescott as well. So Amari Cooper, again, had some smash games, really cooled off in the end. Michael Gallup did show promise here. 3 for 53 and a TD on 4 targets. So Gallup, I think, is going to have a bigger role. Gallup and Cooper could be a nice combination next year. We'll see what they do with Cole Beasley, if they keep him around and go from there. But I think you're locked in with Cooper, Gallup, and Elliott being the key parts of this passing game next year. And we'll see if they'll give Blake Jarwin more of an opportunity, which did not happen in this game. Now the Bucs, Peyton Barber's gone back to struggling against better teams here. 20 touches for only 56 yards, so that was not a surprise. Adam Humphries and Mike Evans did some damage there. 6 for 90 and a TD, 10 for 79 for Humphries. So those guys got involved. Figured that Chris Godwin, DeSean Jackson spot was going to be stuck against Byron Jones for the most part, and that's exactly what happened. So I think Winston, Evans, Humphries, these guys are going to be the vital parts of this passing game going forward. Jackson's a free agent, or the cuttable guy that I think will be in free agency there. So you'll see Evans, Humphrey, Godwin, Cameron Brate, obviously O.J. Howard coming back. So Winston's going to have some upside there. He's cut down on the turnovers. It's also cut down on his upside, but 336 in a TD. I think we'll see Winston getting his contract here and be locked in as the starter for the Buccaneers in 2019. So we're talking a lot about games and the results and things that surprise us and all that. Well, I got to tell you, if you're going to bet on teams, and you got to know where you're betting, and I think the best place to go is MyBookie. MyBookie has been in this business for years. They have some of the best player perks in the business, and they are rewarding in many ways the experience. And you just have to go there, get in on the action, check out their live in-game betting, the mobile site that makes wagering on the go such a breeze there at MyBookie. And a good time to join here at the end of the year. Still have got one more week in the regular season, some playoff games and all that. I'm happy to say that we're offering a nice promo code here at Locked On Fantasy Football. Still, just use the promo code LOCKEDON25. Make deposits after 7 p.m. Eastern time there. If you make it after 7 p.m. Eastern time, they'll give you an additional $25 by using that promo code LOCKEDON25. For deposits of at least $100 initially, and they'll match you, don't forget, with your initial deposit up to $1,000 there. So you want to get in to MyBookie and build up your bank before that you get involved and play all their games. And you can even play fantasy football prop games, bet on a player's fantasy points in a particular week. So there's that as well. And it's easy to use that promo code LOCKEDON25, deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, get that $25 bonus on top of that dollar for dollar match. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Go there now and get in the action on MyBookie before the NFL season is over. We'll be right back here with a look at the next wave of games in week 16. All right, continuing on here as we look, we still have a few more 1 p.m. window games. Mostly they were 1 p.m. this week. You got the Panthers and Falcons, and we found out early in the week here that Cam Newton was ruled out for this one, shut down. Taylor Heinicke came in, and Taylor Heinicke is what you'd expect. Got hurt, threw three picks here, had a touchdown, 274 yards, hurt his elbow. Didn't look right. Kyle Allen looked a little bit better, completed all four of his passes coming off the bench there. But as you expect, this is the Christian McCaffrey show, and it was all about him against his Falcons defense. 33 touches for 178 yards. Unfortunately, didn't get into the end zone, and now they're debating about whether they should play McCaffrey here in Week 17, the meaningless game there against the Saints, who the Saints are also pulling out players. So we'll see. McCaffrey is setting a new record. What a special player. Receptions, PPR beast this year, standard beast this year. So he's going to be in the conversation, not just for RB1, obviously, but the number one overall pick there in 2019, especially looking like Ron Rivera and North Turner will be intact here. So McCaffrey will have his OC. He's kind of the potential of what LaDainian Tomlinson was for North Turner, and that's what we're seeing. And the numbers weren't that far off from some of LT's best years in San Diego with the Chargers. So McCaffrey locked in as an elite RB1. The question is he worthy of that number one pick? And I think in PPR, he definitely has a strong case in 2019. On the other side of things, you have Matt Ryan, solid season. I think overall, he's worked through it. We saw it week one. What is this? But we realized it was more Steve Sarkisian problem going along. Season, 239 yards, 3 TDs, solid. That's what you expect from Matt Ryan. And Julio Jones getting in the end zone consistently late in the season. We don't talk about that anymore. Wish he had a few more yards in this game, but 4 catches, 28 yards and a TD. Calvin Ridley came to life, 3 catches, 98 yards and a TD. Mohamed Sanu, 5 for 81 and a TD. So this was just a great spot all the way for the Falcons. Austin Hooper was the lone disappointment there because everyone else got the job done. 2 for 36 here. So Brian Hill, we went to Tevin Coleman thinking, okay, Tevin Coleman's going to be the guy here. There's no Ito Smith, but Brian Hill looked awesome here against the Panthers' run defense. 8 carries, 115 yards. So Coleman, big run dependent, still looked pretty good. 10 carries for 51, but the Falcons kind of just said, okay, we're going to just protect this game. And Hill, they're replacing Smith. They look pretty good. And the Falcons' run blocking especially looked pretty good. So that's a good sign going forward for Devonta Freeman, Ito Smith, how they shake it up here with Coleman entering free agency in 2019. The next game we'll look at, and not the way we expected it would go, the Colts had a rally to beat the Giants. Unfortunately, Eric Ebron was concussed and out of this game, but Andrew Luck still came through. 357 yards, 2 TDs there, at 13 yards rushing. Marlon Mack was slowed down here, 13 touches for 38 yards and a TD. So cooled off, but still a decent RB2 game for you there with the touchdown. T.Y. Hilton played through the ankle injuries. Fantastic. 7 for 138 there receiving. Didn't get in the end zone. That was Chester Rogers and Dontrell Inman's typical Andrew Luck spread around, but still get it to Hilton, especially with Ebron out of the game early with a concussion there. So Colts, great spot against the Titans. They destroyed them in the first game, 38-10. Playing in week 17, this team could be in the playoffs. A very intriguing team if they get to the playoffs because they have different pieces that you want to play in DFS. So looking forward to that. And Andrew Luck, Frank Reich, what a good combination. And Luck is definitely going to be a QB1 in 2019. Now on the other side of things, you have the Giants. And we know Eli Manning is not going to be a QB1 in 2019. And maybe not the QB1 for the Giants. 309 yards and a TD. Not a bad game for Eli, over 90 in the passer rating, 93.1, even without Odell Beckham Jr., without Russell Shepard. You had Sterling Shepard step up, 6 catches, 113 yards. Evan Ingram looked good, 6 catches for 87, added 2 rushes for 26 as well. So I like the way they simplify the offense. Pat Shurmur just getting in the guys that he trusts the most. Without Beckham, that's been Shepard and Ingram. Of course, Saquon Barkley. Good rebound game here after that quiet one. They did get in the end zone, 26 touches there. Only 77 yards overall with this Colts defense playing really well at home, but you needed that from Barkley as your RB1 to at least retain some solid value here. And so Barkley, we know, is going to be in the conversation, but right now I think it's tough between him and McCaffrey in the PPR leagues, especially where you're going. I think Panthers definitely have McCaffrey's the focal point here, and Barkley is the focal point of the Giants, so it's pretty close, but I don't think you can go wrong with either at the top of your draft board in a PPR there in 2019, given their youth and explosiveness as backs, picking up where they were in college in their great seasons at Penn State and Stanford, respectively. Our next game that we'll look at there in the 1 p.m. window, this Jaguars 17, Dolphins 7, not much to talk about here. Jaguars, forget about the QBs. You had Blake Bortles relieve Cody Kessler. He looked kind of better, but he was protecting the lead, so they didn't really force too much of them. So we'll see. Brand new quarterback there expected there. Next year, D.D. Westbrook, as we thought, could be busy. He's been pretty good PPR-wise. 7 catches, 45 yards here. Didn't get a TD. 1 rush, 9 yards. So PPR, he's been acceptable, but nothing to see there with the Jaguars. Quarterback struggles here. So I think with a better quarterback, Westbrook could be in that consistent wide receiver 3 conversation. And Moncrief could also give you a little bit more value. Leonard Fournette, again, it wasn't the RB1 early first-round draft pick kind of game you expected, but he still had 21 touches for 71 yards and TD. So rebounded there. You had a pick 6 as well. If you played the Jaguars D here late in the season, they've been coming on and looking good here. And had a pick 6 there from Telvin Smith, the linebacker, on Ryan Tannehill. So overall, Fournette, this offensive line fell apart. The running game kind of fell apart. The passing game was not respectable. I think Fournette could be in a great position to rebound, but again, I'm going to proceed with caution and more take him as a back end RB1 with the volume up, maybe even a borderline RB2 versus where we looked at him last year. And make sure you're getting your handcuff there in TJ Yeldon, which we presume is going to be the guy. He is a free agent, however, so we'll see if what they do with Hyde or Yeldon as the backup. But again, Fournette cannot be looked at as that surefire RB1 anymore. On the Dolphins side of things, Kenny and Drake, after getting three touches last week, it's 10 this week, but only turns them into 54 yards. So they could be blowing up this entire backfield. We expected more out of Kalen Ballage, and they didn't really run him. He had only six touches there for 49 yards. So who knows what's going to happen to this offense. Drake, they haven't been crazy about all year. Frank Gore is a free agent coming off now a major foot injury. Ballage is a rookie. And then we're not sure about Danny Amendola and Devontae Parker. We just don't know with Adam Gase in this offense and Ryan Tannehill, especially maybe not being the quarterback there. So a lot of things I think are going to be blown up. So I don't think there's much you can take away except we avoided the Dolphins for most of the year, and hopefully they're a team that we won't have to avoid as badly in fantasy in 2019. Now, next game we go to the Packers, the Jets. 44-38 overtime, and Aaron Rodgers, this is the kind of game you've been hoping for Aaron Rodgers all season long. Go figure, he does it in the playoffs here. 442 yards, two TDs passing. Then he had two TDs rushing with 32 yards as well, and he had a two-point conversion. So what a great game by Rodgers right when everyone needed him. This is why he's the greatest we've seen here in terms of physical talent in our modern era, and he really did his Aaron Rodgers thing in this one. Equanimeous St. Brown, 5 for 94 on caught all of his targets. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, 5 for 75 on 9 targets. Devontae Adams, it was a grind there. He had 10 catches for 55, then boom, one catch, 16 yards, TD, really puts his game into that solid weekly wide receiver one category that we've seen Adams in. So he always gets it somehow, some way, and it happened here on the final play of the game for the Packers. And Jamal Williams, I know people were like, okay, why isn't Aaron Jones playing more? This guy isn't good. But now you're seeing why that, okay, you plug him in. This Jets defense isn't great, but 21 touches there for 156 yards and a score. So this Packers offense has a lot of good vibes going into next year, especially that connection with St. Brown and Valdes-Scantling getting going here, along with Adams. I think he was free from the Jimmy Graham forced throws here, spreading the ball around. Aaron Jones. Now, Williams made a case where he needs to be a factor, even if Jones returns here. So this is why they were trying to play a lot of Williams early. People were frustrated. I think Mike McCarthy maybe used him in the wrong ways. But now that Williams is free and having some better matchups, you're seeing that he's still a viable back. So I expect a Jones-Williams type of timeshare. And you look at Rodgers, he's locked in. I think he could have one of his best seasons yet. I think that's what the hints are with his young receiving, budding receiving core and no McCarthy there. I think he's going to go off. Now, on the other side, Sam Darnold, a lot of promise as well. 341 yards, three TDs, no picks here. He's locked in with Robbie Anderson, 9 for 140 on 13 targets and a TDs. And Chris Herndon, the tight end, 6 for 7 and 82 on a TD. So these two guys are going to be integral parts on the offense. Jermaine Kearse got hurt in this game with Achilles. He's going to fade at 4 for 55. Quincy Nunua can't stay healthy with the ankle, didn't play in this game either. So Anderson and Herndon are good baselines. I suspect they'll go out and get another receiver. Elijah McGuire is the real deal in the backfield as well. 3 catches for 50 yards on a TD. Also 14 carries for 35 yards on a TD. So this was just a fantasy explosion. If you played DFS in just this game, it didn't matter if you were playing the full slate. If you just got players from this game, you were looking really good. So a lot of promise about the Jets offense. It's the Jets defense, however, I think is going to force the move away from Todd Bowles. The next game we look at here is the Eagles and Texans in the 1 p.m. window. And Deshaun Watson, again, one of those monster games that you look for, very similar to Aaron Rodgers games, 339 yards, then two TDs passing, two TDs rushing, 49 yards rushing. You needed the Texans defense to struggle a little bit and the running game to struggle a little bit to get Watson to get open. for a big game. And Texans simply cannot run the ball without Lamar Miller. Their offensive line really struggled against the Eagles' defensive line. You had Watson light them up, but unfortunately Nick Foles lit up even more on the other side as the Eagles struggled to run the ball. 471 yards, four TDs. Had an interception there that almost cost the Eagles late, but he's doing his thing from last year. Alshon Jeffrey, 3 for 82 on 5 targets. Zach Ertz, 12 for 110 on 16 targets and 2 TDs. And Nelson Agholor came to life with 5 catches, 116 yards, and 7 targets, and a TD. So he brought all the greatest hits back on rotation here, so to speak. Nick Foles, and even got Darren Sproles involved. 3 catches, 76 yards, and a burst of a TD there as well for that 4th score for Foles, and 9 carries for 32. He was also effective. So Sproles isn't going to wear. Just all the guys, classic guys in this offense came through for the Eagles. And get the Redskins next week. Have a chance to smash one more time before the end of the season. We'll see if they can make the playoffs, if the Vikings can lose. Foles, however, is a free agent, so we know this is not going to last. And I would be interested to see where he lands up here. There are plenty of options. Maybe it's the Jaguars. We don't want to see that. But Foles is going to be relevant and get some looks again with this chance to play hot here down the stretch. Our last 1 p.m. game there that we look at in Week 16 on Sunday, before we take another break here, is the Vikings and Lions. The Lions, we know that Matthew Stafford has been limping to the finish line, only 116 yards passing, just uncharacteristic Stafford-like games. They couldn't really run the ball. They couldn't really do anything in this game. So Lions offense, Kerryon Johnson's going to be the focal point. Kenny Galladay is going to be the focal point. Marvin Jones is going to be still around. We know Golden Tate won't be. I don't think LeGarrette Blount will be either. There's a lot of changes, but Kerryon Johnson, Kenny Galladay are the two guys I'm looking at. Kerryon is an RB2 with a bullet. Kenny Galladay with a wide receiver 2 with a bullet as well in 2019. But a lot of things need to change here fundamentally for the Lions. To trust in Stafford, just shocking to see how he's become a shell of his old fantasy self, not even as a gunslinger anymore in this offense. Now on the other side, Kirk Cousins, 253 yards, 3 TDs. He's had a pretty solid season overall. Had that Hail Mary at the end of the half, 44-yarder that he completed in the end zone to Kyle Rudolph. Out of nowhere, Kyle Rudolph has a monster game, of course. Quiet all year, catches all 9 targets, including that toss-up there, 122 yards and 2 scores. Stephon Diggs, very quiet, but redeemed himself with a touchdown here, 2 for 10 and a score. Adam Thielen, 5 for 80. So they were just too much in control of this game with those plays to Rudolph, the plays to Diggs. Dalvin Cook was definitely disappointing here with 19 touches for 108. I mean, solid, but still a little bit disappointing there overall. Now, if you're still playing in Week 17, it's really hard to trust this Vikings offense, though. However, at home, they're on the road in this one. At home against the Bears defense, Bears still have something to play for. So, again, you're not going to extend too much. You're not going to chase this box score and feel great about all the Vikings players. Despite all their success against Miami and Detroit, they are playing Chicago next week against Chicago. Still a little bit motivated there in that late window with the chance to get that number 2 seed and get a little extra rest and get that solid home game after that. So we'll have to see, but good to see the Vikings offense rebound all along. It's just hard as some of the value goes to one player or the other, and this week particularly was Rudolph working with Cousins. And I've got to tell you, before we get into the late games to close the show, and we'll get the takeaways there, I've got to tell you that this episode of Locked On Fantasy Football is sponsored by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery-heated clothing, heat on demand, at a touch of a button. Control your environment by getting Action Heat clothing, which is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heated panels similar to a heated car seat. They can reach temperatures up to 135 degrees and are powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion batteries that last up to 12 hours on each charge. And those batteries can also be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget while you're wearing them. Again, this is perfect for any belated holiday gift for anyone on your list. Here, anyone who works outdoors, anyone who likes to play outdoors, anyone who just likes to be outdoors but hates being cold. This is toasty warm. ActionAid provides toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body, including heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like heated base layer shirts and long johns. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with ActionAid, and ActionAid is available in men's and women's and has great new styles and models just released for this winter season. Make winter activities more enjoyable with the blast of warmth with ActionAid, and for now, as a listener to Locked On Fantasy Football, you just have to go to actionheat.com/lockedon to save 20% off your first initial order. That's actionheat.com/lockedon, or use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20% off at ActionHeat. ActionHeat, stay warm with the outdoor activities this winter with ActionHeat, and we thank them again for sponsoring the podcast. We'll be right back here to look at the late games of Week 16. Now, let's close looking at the late action. We have three games in the 4 o'clock window and, of course, Sunday Night Football between the Chiefs and the Seahawks. We'll look at the Bears and 49ers. The Bears, it was a grind for them. Jordan Howard still came through in a spot, 13 for 53 in a TD. Tarik Cohen, disappointing game. We've been relying on him to do a lot of damage all season. The 49ers really focused on him and took him out. He had only 7 touches for 19 yards. So Howard, the bread and butter, we said be patient there for Howard in December, winter, when it's tougher due to a lot of things. And you're seeing that come to fruition here with what Howard did. An ugly brawl between these two teams. Mitchell Trubisky, 246 yards and a TD. We expected more there. Anthony Miller had the short TD. Allen Robinson was solid, 6 for 85 with the TD. So Allen Robinson, Jordan Howard, the main guys, are getting a lot of love here late in the season. That's what we're seeing. And against the Vikings, tough to trust too much in this offense next week, but keep that in mind. The Bears' defense was solid, give them 9 points. Didn't have those big, big plays. Had here only an interception and 1 sack, but the 49ers are tricky that way, especially when they're playing at home. So not a big deal there. Now we look at the 49ers offense. We knew a lot would shut down. Really, the only notable thing was George Kittle, 7 catches, 74 yards on 12 targets there. So 49ers, we knew it was messy. They could get some garbage points, better for you against the Rams next week. But still hard to trust, especially Matt Breida aggravating the ankle going down. Marquise Goodwin got hurt in this game. Dante Pettis got hurt in this game. So it's a mess here as the 49ers literally limp in. They just cannot stay healthy, period, anywhere. And that's kind of hurt them the entire season. But we'll see what this offense looks like next year. We know Kittle's going to be an integral part. Dante Pettis figures to be a starter here. You know, Jerick McKinnon, we'll see how he can heal up. And, of course, Jimmy Garoppolo. So a lot of things to like about this 49ers offense, just not in this particular matchup against the Bears with all their backups. In the short term, longer term, a lot of things to like here in San Francisco. We go to our next game, the Rams all over the Cardinals, 31-19, or 9, I would say. They give them 10 extra points for no reason. But 31-9 here, Jared Goff wasn't spectacular, 216 yards and a TD, but he didn't have to be. They did the job without Todd Gurley. They decided to sit him, maybe having confidence in C.J. Anderson, and he delivered 20 carries, 167 yards, and a TD for Anderson. John Kelly, the rookie there from Tennessee, 10 carries for 40 yards behind him. They just dominated the ground against an awful Cardinals run defense. Jared Goff got in as a runner, so did Robert Woods. 3 TDs and 269 yards, thus the limited passing. Brandon Cooks just fizzled out here. He really is hurt by the absence of Cooper Kupp because it's easier to take him out of the game than Robert Woods. 6 for 89 and a TD passing or receiving for Woods as well. So solid game for Woods with those 2 scores to close out the fantasy football playoffs. So Cooks, however, again, you're seeing why maybe the Saints and Patriots passed on this guy, because he's a boomer bust type player. He's not a consistent part of the offense, and coaches get frustrated with that. Well, Woods is like the coaching dream. He's in possession guy, can make big plays as well. That's what you're seeing here. So, and next year, I'm looking at it as Robert Woods, to me, is an RB or wide receiver 2. I'm looking at Kupp as a wide receiver 2-3 borderline, and Cooks as wide receiver 3 only now going forward in this offense. And we've seen that consistently. And I think they can use the tight ends as well, which it can also cut into Cooks. And that did here with 6 catches for 44 yards combined for Gerald Everett and Tyler Higbee. And and Everett was even involved in the rushing attack as well. So just what you expect from the Rams, just from a different source here, Anderson instead of Gurley. Now, on the other side of the Cardinals, this is just a mess. They need a change here. When Larry Fitzgerald is your most effective touchdown thrower, and he was, had a 32-yard touchdown pass to David Johnson, and that was the only David Johnson catch. That sums up this entire season for the Cardinals, really, is that Larry Fitzgerald is your best quarterback. He's your best receiver, 6 for 53, and he's the one guy that gets the ball in the hands of David Johnson, and they forget about David Johnson otherwise. So they just need to change here with Arizona. It's just ugly. Just ruined a lot of good talent here. Josh Rosen hasn't developed either, which is also disturbing. 87 yards passing only in this game. 4 for 49 rushing. I mean, just let's hope that the Cardinals can figure this out, because this is really bad overall offensively. Fitzgerald, we'll see if he hangs it up here. They're going to need some receiver help as well, if that's the case. I know they liked a lot of Christian Kirk, but I think they need that bona fide big number one as well to help Rosen going forward, and maybe a tight end as well that's reliable, not Ricky Seals-Jones. So a lot of things need to happen here. David Johnson, the crux. I still think of David Johnson with his volume as an RB2 next year, but has that RB1 upside if he lands in the right spot here on his own team with a better coach. Our next game was the marquee game. Well, we have two marquee games left, but the marquee game of the afternoon was the Saints holding off the Steelers 31-28 here. Now, with the Saints, they'd messed around, had Taysom Hill throw a long pass early, got intercepted. Drew Brees rebounded here. It didn't look good early for him, but he had to rev it up as the Steelers rallied from 24-14 down to take the lead, so he had to really chuck it late, and he was in the groove here. Alvin Kamara really helped him with his day, 326 yards and a TD. So solid game for Brees, not maybe what you're looking for as a QB1, but Michael Thomas looked darn good here. 11 catches, 109 yards, a TD, exactly what you expect. When they go home against a bigger opponent, it all corrects to the main guys, and it really did here. With Thomas, Alvin Kamara for sure looked awesome. 11 touches for 97 yards and a couple scores. He had Ted Ginn be a contributor here with 5 catches for 74 yards. Any targets? Clearly, they've been missing him in this offense. He created that extra guy to make plays, and it opened things up for these other guys really well as well. So the veteran activated immediately from his knee injury, paying dividends there. And you had Mark Ingram, of course, looking good here with 12 touches for 41 yards and TD. So he came through as the RB2 flex that you expect. And Kamara is the RB1. And Thomas is wide receiver 1. So a lot of things just happen normally with New Orleans that you expect. On the other side of things, we had the Steelers. Kind of what you'd expect there. They couldn't run the ball as effectively against a tough Saints run defense. Jalen Samuels did get in the end zone with his 15 touches for 64 yards as a receiver on a wide open play there. So he still returned his value. Vance McDonald had only 1 catch there for 49 yards, but it was all about Antonio Brown, 14 for 185 yards and 2 TDs. Stud shows up in the fantasy championship round. Juju Smith-Schuster, 11 catches, 115, but had that lost fumble late that really cost his team overall. But Roethlisberger, Brown, Smith-Schuster smashed as expected here in this game in a good shootout potential. It's good when a game lives up to its potential with the usage of players and the production of players, and this one certainly did. And what can you say? I mean, this is two teams that you know what they are and you know where the producers are, and that's what you trust going forward. And finally, our last game that we'll look at here in week number 16 before Monday Night Football. We'll talk about that game on Wednesday briefly between the Broncos and Raiders. This was much bigger, the Seahawks and Chiefs. The Seahawks, I picked them to win this game. It was almost a mirror image if you look at some of the numbers here. 273-3 for Mahomes passing, 271-3 for Wilson. Wilson just did it with much less volume, 29 attempts versus 40 for Mahomes. So Wilson was up to the task to duel him. Here, Mahomes had 33 rushing yards, Russell Wilson at 57, so pretty close overall with the numbers. Great duel, and this is what you want fantasy football and reality football to look like here in Week 16. That's exactly what you got. Damian Williams was very effective with 103 yards there. He had a receiving touchdown as well, so 140 from scrimmage and a receiving score there. Chris Carson, 116 rushing and a pair of rushing scores. So he was awesome this year. And again, this tells you any back in a good system that commits to it, Carson or Williams, they're going to produce. Williams, roundabout way with all the things that happened with Kareem Hunt and Spencer Ware. Chris Carson, pretty straightforward way of winning the job over Rashad Penny and Mike Davis early. And looking at Doug Baldwin, this guy can still play. So much for him fading here with a growing hip injury. He's a legitimate threat all over. He's so gritty, so good. 7 catches, 126 yards, and a TD. There, Tyler Lockett, 4 for 499. So the principles came through for the Seahawks. The principles pretty much came through for the Chiefs, except for Travis Kelce. Tyreek Hill ended up with 91 yards from scrimmage on 6 touches. Kelce only 5 for 54. The Seahawks have been pretty good against the tight end. Really were good against him with Bobby Wagner and their safeties. And that kind of hurt Kelce's value in a matchup where we thought he was going to do a little bit more. But then when the Chiefs can run that way and spread it around, sometimes Kelce is going to be limited. That's what we saw here. But these offenses are pretty simple. I think you're going to see this very similar situation for the Seahawks next year. Carson, heavy dose of him, maybe a little bit more Penny when he's healthy with a knee. A lot of Baldwin and Lockett in the passing game, and pretty much in the MO all year. Chiefs, whoever their running back is, Williams is a free agent, Ware is a free agent, is going to be in a smash spot working with Mahomes, and Hill to Kelce from game to game. Not locked in any either of them to produce, but more times than not, they are going to come through for you in fantasy. So there you have it. There's a comprehensive look at the takeaways for Week 16 here on Roundup Monday. We'll be back here on Wednesday to look at all the games of Week 17. I'll break down the matchups there, what you need to know, and how we are going to adjust with a lot of players sitting in that week as well. For Lockdown Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you on Wednesday. Have a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to you, and we'll catch up then there. Now, thanks for being with us all season long.